Our scripture for this morning is from Matthew chapter 14, verses 13 through 21. And when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a departed place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them and cured their sick. When it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is now late. Send the crowds away so that we may go into the village to buy food for themselves." Jesus said to them, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." They replied, "We have nothing here but 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he said, "Bring them here to me." Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowd. And all ate and were filled, and they took up what was left over of the broken pieces, 12 baskets full. And those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
So, for the next 3 weeks, Pastor Gary, Pastor Arthur, and I will all be preaching from the Gospel of Matthew. We're going to explore some of the great lessons that Jesus taught his followers during his ministry on earth. It seemed like a really perfect way to spend some time as we are preparing to send children back to school for another year of learning, because no matter how young or old each of us is, we all can still be students at the feet of our Rabbi Jesus. So today we start with a story that was so critical to the early church that it is the only miracle story that every one of the 4 Gospels captures. In fact, this story of this miraculous multiplication of food, it was so important that it's actually told about 6 times in the Gospels, because 2 of the Gospels tell a second similar story where some 4,000 people are fed. These stories of the needs of people being met by a loving and compassionate Savior, these stories really convey the heart of the gospel in a short, concise, and engaging way. So this scripture is pretty clear without too much elaboration from me today, except for one thing. The passage opens with the statement, "Now when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a deserted place by himself." So what is it exactly that Jesus had heard that made him want to get away by himself, only to find that the crowds had followed him along the shore and were waiting for him when he got there? Well, the author of Matthew tells us that what had happened is Jesus and his disciples had just found out that John the Baptist had been beheaded by King Herod. So it is no wonder that Jesus wanted to get away. Jesus was in mourning for the prophet who had gone before him preaching the good news. He was in mourning for the man who had baptized him in the River Jordan before he began his own ministry. He was in mourning for his cousin, for John was, in fact, Jesus's cousin. Jesus wanted some time alone, and he tried to get it. But the crowds saw where he was going, and they walked along the shore as Jesus rowed across, and there they were. The crowds needed Jesus. And Jesus saw their need, and he set aside his own feelings, his own desire to be alone, and he tended to their needs. Now that is for sure a lesson from Jesus that we could afford to learn from today, if ever there was one. A lesson in love. A lesson in the love of God. The love of God, you see, is so much more than a feeling. It is a choice. It is a choice about how to treat others' needs. In short, it is a choice to treat others' needs as greater than our own. And when we make that choice for others, when we serve others, even when we don't feel like it, even when we don't care personally for the people who are these others, we are loving in the way that Jesus loved that day. Even before we read about this miraculous feeding, we have this very important lesson before us to consider. But what about that feeding? What about this miracle? It's getting close to nightfall. There are thousands of people, and Jesus has not made his way around to everyone who needs him yet. So the disciples, they assess the situation. It appears they have even already checked to see how much food they have available, 5 loaves and 2 fish. They assess the situation and they approach Jesus with what they believe is the best course of action, a compassionate choice. You should tell everyone that they need to leave here and they need to get to one of these villages close by and they need to get some food before all the shops close. Otherwise, they're not going to have anything to eat, and it's really the only good thing to do because they're not going to leave unless you make them. You are going to have to tell them to go. Now, I always imagine that in this moment, Jesus is in the middle of dealing with one of these people there that day. I picture that he is talking with someone who has been sick for years, someone who was at their wit's end, who had finally found someone in Jesus who would not only listen, but could do something to solve their suffering, to give them relief. So that is what I imagine is going on. And I imagine that Jesus tells his disciples, maybe without even looking away from the person that he is talking with, I imagine him saying to his disciples, they don't need to do anything. You need to feed them. They were ready, though. The disciples were ready for that. They had their inventory of resources, and they pointed out, clearly, this is not going to work. Now Jesus has to stop what he's doing. He tells all of the crowd to sit down. He tells the disciples to bring him what it is that they do have, that seemingly measly 5 loaves and 2 fish. And Jesus looks to heaven, and he offers a blessing. And he breaks the loaves, and he gives them to the disciples and sends them to feed the crowd. Maybe he repeated again what he had said earlier. You give them something to eat. Emphasis on the you. These are your resources. God has empowered you to use them to meet the needs here today. All 5,000 plus of these hungry mouths are yours to feed. Get to it. I don't know how many of you are familiar with the Star Wars movies, but in particular that first trilogy of movies that was released in the late 70s and the 80s. But there is a particular scene from one of those movies that crossed my mind as I was preparing this week. In the second movie, The Empire Strikes Back, Luke Skywalker finds himself on a swampy, dark planet named Dagobah, where he is training under Yoda. Yoda is a small, green, curious creature with a funny way of talking, but who is wise, and he has very much to teach. Now, Luke's training is going very well. He is learning how to use the Force. The late Carrie Fisher, who was also in these movies, she describes the Force as something that moves through you and around you. In short, it is the light of the God that is in you. At any rate, things are going well. Luke is able to move rocks with his mind. He is stacking stones while he is standing on one hand, and he's balancing Yoda on his feet. And then he sees that his starship is sinking in the swamp, and he loses hope. And he falls out of his headstand, and the rocks scatter, and he says, "We will never get it out. We will never get it out now." And Yoda is very frustrated with his student. He says, "So certain are you, always with you what cannot be done. Do you learn nothing?" Luke, much like the disciples with their 5 loaves and 2 fish against thousands of empty stomachs, he tries to speak logically to his teacher about the situation. He says, "Master, moving stones is one thing, but this is totally different. Moving a multi-ton, I imagine, starship with his mind is a totally different thing than moving some stones." No different. Yoda says, "Only different in your mind." Luke is exasperated, but he respects his master, and he grumbles, and he says, "All right, I'll give it a try." To which Yoda says, "No, try not. Do or do not, there is no try." Jesus told his disciples that day that the fact that they only had what looked like it would go around just to their little group of followers and satisfy hunger, he said, in spite of that, feeding their small group versus crowds of people, those were only different in their minds. Jesus said, "Don't send them away. Don't try to get them taken care of some other way. You take care of them. Do take care of them. There is no need to think in terms of failure or this isn't going to work." And Jesus tells us to do the same today. Don't let human things overwhelm you. God is bigger than human things. If he tells you to get out there and do something, don't go about it with an "I'll try" sort of an attitude. Do it believing in the one that sends you. Barbara Brown Taylor, one of my favorite authors, she wrote, "The problem with miracles is we tend to get mesmerized by them, focusing on God's responsibility and forgetting our own. Miracles let us off the hook," she says. "They appeal to the part of us that is all too happy to let God feed the crowd, save the world, do it all. Sitting in the crowd, waiting for God to act, we can hang on to our own little loaves of bread," she says. But you see, God needs us involved. He needs us to step out of the crowd. He wants us to pull up to the table. He wants us to bring everything that we have with us, and he wants us to open our hands, to let go, to bless him for giving it to us in the first place, and then he wants us to see what he will do. 5 loaves and 2 fish are never enough until you start giving it away, the Reverend Carla Miller wrote. How far will God multiply that which he has already given us when we bring it to the table to share? What will he do with that which we can joyfully let go of for use in serving the world? What will happen when we let go? When we let go compassionately, when we let go by choice, when we let go blessing God and pointing to him as the provider of all things every single step of the way. So may we go from this place today expecting miracles of human resources multiplied by our heavenly provider, walking with the power and the confidence only the Holy Spirit can give us, declaring the name of Jesus to all who would hear it, and in all that we do, giving glory to God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the lessons that you teach us through Jesus, through your word. We thank you this morning for the lesson in love. We thank you for the lesson in discipleship. We thank you for the lesson in not sitting back and waiting for miracles to happen without us. We ask that you would empower us to let go of that which we tend to think is not enough. Empower us to let go and let you multiply it and send us into this world to offer your healing and your love and your grace wherever we go. As we prepare to gather at your table this morning, we are reminded that in today's scriptures, we heard overtones of this meal, this communion meal. When Jesus looked to you, blessed you, broke loaves, and fed thousands. It is a reminder that as we gather at this table, that we remember not only that night before your son was betrayed, but we remember his entire ministry and all that he had to teach us. We thank you, Lord. Continue to teach us and to give us open hearts to learn. In your son's name we pray. Amen.